When I was a child, I was not a big fan of the dark. Like a lot of children, I was afraid of the dark. Didn't like to go down into the dark basement. Didn't like complete darkness when I went to bed. There was a funny episode that happened when I was about 3 or 4 years old. See, I didn't like the dark, and there was one other thing that I really was kind of afraid of, and that was the noise of our big canister vacuum cleaner. The thing made a horrendous racket, and I did not like it. Well, one day, my older brothers and I are playing hide-and-seek, and I had this great idea. I was going to hide in the closet, and I thought if I shut the door, they would never think to look for me there. But when I shut the door to the closet, it was pitch black. And I didn't know what to do. So I just sat down right where I was, and I sat right on the canister vacuum cleaner, which my mom had left plugged in, and I sat right on the on-off switch. And it turned on, and needless to say, that was the shortest game of hide-and-seek ever. Now, I'm not so afraid of the dark anymore. At night, I prefer complete darkness to sleep. Years ago, I can remember laying in my apartment. This is before Tammy and I met. I'd lay in my apartment, have all the lights out, only the lights of the stereo. I'd listen to music, just laying on the floor in the dark. It was very peaceful. Now I don't do that because I couldn't get up off the floor. But there was something calming and peaceful about the dark. But I do know this, I would not want to live in darkness. I like knowing that I can flip a switch and the light's going to come on. Now, as we continue in examining the invitations of Jesus in the Bible, we arrived at the invitation to come to the light. In spite of all of the artificial light that the human race has developed in recent years, most people are still living in the dark. Some have gotten so used to the darkness that they prefer it to the light. But Jesus calls us out of our hiding, out of our isolation, out of our darkness, and into the light of Himself, so that healing, breakthrough, and transformation can take place. Now, I want to begin this morning by addressing the illusion of the world. You see, those outside of Christ are convinced that they are living in the light, that the world is becoming a better place, and that they are fully in control of everything. But this is nothing but a tragic illusion. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, it says, "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness, and they don't even know what makes them stumble." They think they're in the light. They think that everything is so great, and yet they are living in the darkness, and they don't even realize what they're stumbling over. Someone once defined worldly philosophy as a blind man in a dark room without windows looking for a black cat that isn't there. That's dark. And sadly, that is the condition of many people in our world today. They're stumbling around in the dark looking for something that doesn't even exist, but all the while they think they've got it all under control. They think they've got life by the tail. How can this be? How can it be that the human race is so delusioned? And I think Paul tells us in Romans 1, verses 21 and 22, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. When we reject God, who is the light, we sentence ourselves to a life of darkness. When you turn away from the light, darkness is your only other option. And that has become the way of the world. Jesus added in John 12, verse 35, the man who walks in the dark doesn't know where he's going. Isn't that the truth? You ever get up in the middle of the night and you don't want to disturb someone else, so you don't flip the light on, you think you know where you're going? Yeah, your toes will tell you a different story when you kick something that you forgot was there. When we walk in the dark, we really don't know where we're going. Years ago, there was a popular hit song. It was entitled The Grand Illusion. Some of you might remember that. And that's really the story of many people in our world today. They're living a grand illusion, the illusion of the world, living in darkness while claiming to bask in the light. In John chapter 3, very famous chapter where Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. We all know verse 16, but I'd like to look a couple of verses down from that to verse 19. Jesus said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth that comes from the light, or comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. It isn't just a matter of ignorance. It isn't just a matter of, well, I didn't know any better. They know the light, but they prefer the dark. They would rather live in the dark than come to the light. But darkness is not the only option. Isaiah 9, verse 2 says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. This was a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One. And according to John chapter 1, the passage that we read earlier in our call to worship, you see the illumination of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. Some versions translate, has not overcome it, not overpowered it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And then verse 14 identifies who that light is. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word in this passage is not some theory. It's not some impersonal force. Notice the personal pronouns here. He, his, him. This is a person. The Word was with God, meaning He was distinct from the Father, and yet He was God at the same time. He was the agent of creation. Through Him all things were made. Nothing exists that He did not make. And He is the light. The light that shines in the darkness. The light that gives life to all men. Who is that light? The one who came and literally pitched His tent among us. The way John wrote verse 14, He came and tabernacled among us. Which is just pitching your tent. He took on a body like ours. We know that is Jesus. Why did John use that word, the term word, to describe Jesus? Well, in the Greek language, it is logos. And logos was a very powerful term in Greek philosophy at that time. Dating 3 centuries before Christ, this concept became very popular among the Greeks. And so John used this popular concept of they thought of it as a force that brought all things together and made everything make sense. And John says, no, this isn't a force, this is a person. And the person is God. God the Son, who came and became one of us. Now, ascribing light to Jesus was not merely the idea of somebody else. Jesus referred to himself as the light of the world on more than one occasion. In John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Those are the words of Jesus himself. One chapter later, in chapter 9, verse 4, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus is the light. He himself. And then finally, in John 12, verse 46, he said, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness." Jesus, the light of the world, the illumination of the Word, allows us an alternative to living in darkness. We can live in the light. And this brings us to the invitation to the walk. Now, this was initially given as a prophecy 7 centuries before Jesus was born. I'm referring to the passage Melissa read for us earlier in Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. "In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It'll be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths.' The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations. He will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore." And here it is. "Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The invitation to walk in the light. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. "Then Jesus told them, 'You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." Walking in the light. And then John contrasts these lifestyles in his first letter, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from every and all sin." A contrast: walking in the darkness or walking in the light. What does that mean? We know what walking means. You put one foot in front of the other and it takes you somewhere. But what's he talking about here? Well, maybe not so much today, but it used to be that we would talk about someone's walk of life. And it wasn't just where their feet took them. It was how they lived, was their behavior. And that's exactly what this is speaking about. When the Bible talks about walking in darkness, walking in the light, how do you live your life? On a day-to-day basis, the decisions that we make, the actions we take, the words that we speak, that's our walk. So are we walking in the light, or are we walking in the darkness? Those are the only two options. We're either doing one or the other. And we are invited by Jesus and by his followers, come to the light. Come walk in the light. Paul describes this in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. He says, "And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when we had first believed. The night is almost over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Again, how do we walk? It's how we behave. It's our pattern of life. And he says, don't walk as children of the darkness, walk as children of the light. Behave decently. You see, the Christian life isn't just about what we believe, it's how we behave. And quite frankly, if our behavior doesn't match our belief, we really don't believe it. We're just saying words. So how is our walk? I just heard a song yesterday I hadn't heard in a long, long time. It says, "There's too much talk and not enough walk. Sometimes God's children should be seen and not heard." Yeah. It's how we live. It's the choices we make on a day-to-day basis. We are to walk in the light. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." There's a good one. You want to walk in the light, find out what pleases the Lord and do it. "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Here, walking in the light means to live according to goodness, righteousness, and truth. To find out what pleases the Lord. People of the world couldn't care less what pleases the Lord. They're only out to please themselves. And the difference ought to be very apparent. And then we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 5, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Here the emphasis is on self-control. That's the last characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5. I think it's put at the end because it's the hardest. But the person who walks in the light isn't controlled by substances, isn't controlled by others, isn't controlled by their own habits, controlled by the Spirit of God, so that we can say no to temptation, that we can say yes to what God wants us to do. Earlier I mentioned three instances in which the Gospel of John, in the Gospel of John, where Jesus called himself the light of the world. But there's one other mention of the light of the world that I want to close with, and that's in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus says this to his followers, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Does that surprise you? You are the light of the world. You say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus was the light of the world. But remember, in one of those verses, he says, "While I am here, I am the light of the world." And I think the easiest way to comprehend this is a very simple lesson from science. During the day, the earth is turned toward the sun, and the sun's rays directly come in and give light. But at night, the world is turned away from the sun. That's why it's in darkness. But what shines in the night? The moon. And on a clear night, the moon can just about light up the sky, light up the whole area where you are. But did you know that the moon has no luminosity of itself? The moon produces no light. It's just a rock hanging out in space. When you see the moon in a night sky, you are seeing the rays of the sun reflected off the moon. You can't see the sun at night because it's on the other side of the world, but you can see the light of the sun and the moon. We are the moon in the darkness of our times. We are a reflection of the light so that people can see Jesus. But how are they going to do that? Jesus says it right here. "Let your light shine among men so that they may see your good works." He did not say that they may hear your good words, because good words by themselves don't mean anything. People are not going to believe what we say until they believe how we live. "See your good works and praise your Father in heaven." Walk in the light. Live in a way that pleases the Lord. Reflect the light of Christ into the darkness around us. That's what Jesus invites us to do. He says, "Come to the light. And not only will I take the darkness out of your life, but I will make your light so shine that others can see it. And you can bring others to me. Even though I'm not here anymore, you are the light of the world." So in the words of Isaiah chapter 2, "Come to the light." That's what Jesus invites us to. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that you are the light of the world. And while you walked on this earth, you gave illumination to all who saw you, to all who heard you. But you have completed your mission. and you have returned to heaven. And now we, your followers, are the light of the world. I pray that our lives so reflect your light that others will see you in us. Not that they praise us, but that they praise our Father in heaven. May we be such a reflection of the light that we can extend your invitation to those who are still in the dark. Come to the light. Come have your sins forgiven. Come have the darkness taken away. Come and see what life is really all about. Come to the light. May we be faithful in sharing your light to those around us who are still in the dark. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.